Hello, everyone. Sorry to disappoint you. This is not Abraham. This is Regina Dawn Akers. So instead of 12 minutes of Abraham, you're going to get 60 minutes of me. Is that okay? All God, Vora says. All God. Yeah. Happy Sunday night. You know, it's funny, Boris said, all God, and it made me think of the ice cream I ate today, because I had an ice cream flavor today called trash can. I don't know if you guys remember, but in the course, one of the lessons where it's teaching you how to practice, God is in the whatever you look at. One of the examples that Jesus gives is, God is in the trash can. Do you remember that? And so I saw trash can ice cream today, and I remembered God is in the trash can, and I had some. And it was good. Yeah, God is in the ice cream. But we had a nice day. I think some of you guys were here last night. So, you know, right at the end of my teaching, Jill Messing walked in. You guys may know her as Thank Q. And so today what we did was we studied NTI this morning. And then we took her out to the Royal Gorge. Not into the touristy area, but over on the side where the locals go. And we had a picnic, and then we climbed around on the cliffs of the Royal Gorge. So we have indoctrinated her to Colorado. She's a cliff climber now. Yeah, we're locals now. We are. We're locals. I have Colorado license. Well, I'm a local, Donna. I have Colorado license plates. Colorado driver's license, a Colorado doctor, and a Colorado dentist. That makes me a local. Yeah, Donna's still driving around on Massachusetts license plates. She's dwindling on her localism there, but she'll get around to it. I was wondering if anybody was going to pick up on that I said we were cliff climbing today and connect that to Cliff Nick Dude here and say, oh my gosh, Cliff, did you hear that? Sure enough, somebody did. But anyway, happy Sunday. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides. I have a link for you all. The message that we're going to look at now comes from April 2007. And the name of the mind, sorry, I see the word mind in the message. But the name of the message is Clearing the Mind and Acting Only on Guidance. Wow, that sounds pretty cool. Clearing the mind and acting only on guidance, right? That really is pretty cool. So that's what we're going to read. We're going to see what Spirit has to say about that. Sounds like it could be very, very useful to all of us. What I'm going to do first is close my eyes and pray. If you all would join me in that, I would be very grateful. We are one. Holy Spirit, here we are again, joined together with our ears, our hearts, our minds, our attention turned toward you, so that we may hear whatever will be most helpful to us. We have a desire, Spirit, to awaken to our true self, to be our true self, to serve our true self. And yet at the same time, Holy Spirit, there is that split mind. And this is why we need your guidance. We need to be reminded of what is true. We need to be reminded of what we want. And we need practices that will help us to stay focused. Holy Spirit, we appreciate your guidance. Now, even more than that, we are lovingly grateful for your guidance. Thank you so much. Please help us to hear what is most helpful for us to hear. Not just with our head, but with our hearts, with our soul, with our beingness. so that we remember and practice as you ask us to remember and practice. Amen. Okay, hey, Cher Miracle is here. Hey, Cher. And Wayne just popped in. So here's a link, guys, a link to the message that we're going to look at. Yeah, it's good to have you here, Cher. All right, name of the message, clearing the mind and acting only on guidance. Here we go. I'm going to take a sip of tea first. Hold on. All right, here we go. I had a question. Holy Spirit, I am getting a private message, but I can't take private messages and teach at the same time, so I'm just going to ignore it, okay? All right, here we go. Holy Spirit, there seem to be some out-of-the-ordinary opportunities in my life right now. And right this second, I don't remember what they were. Maybe as we go forward, I will. There seem to be some out-of-the-ordinary opportunities in my life right now. With healing as my only purpose, my thinking mind could not begin to tell me how to move forward with these opportunities, although it is working very hard at offering a myriad of suggestions. My only interest is what you would have me do. What would you share with me? And I guess it doesn't really matter what the specific situation was in my life. As I look at the question, I realize that this question could come up a number of times in any of our lives where there seems to be a lot of opportunities to make decisions, to make choices, maybe about moving, maybe about changing jobs, maybe about entering a new relationship or leaving an old relationship. There's just lots of times when we're faced with what appears to be big decisions. And especially if we're completely attached to the ego has all kinds of suggestions. Often its suggestions conflict with one another, which then causes a lot of stress for us because we feel paralyzed and we don't know which decision to make. Pretty typical story, actually. So I'm admitting that I have opportunities, and I'm admitting that my thinking mind has no friggin' idea what it's talking about. It's probably giving that conflicting advice. There's no way that it can help me, although it's trying very hard. And then I say, my only interest is what you would have me do. What would you share with me? So here's Holy Spirit's answer. You listen to me when you do not think. So it is best to wait until you are not thinking before you attempt to listen to me. Clear your mind in this way. Number one, walk away from that which you are thinking about. To continue to look at it is to continue to think about it. You may then confuse thinking with guidance. Well, like I said, I don't remember what was happening in April of 2007. But let's imagine, this isn't the case, I know it isn't for me, but let's imagine that I needed to get a job. And let's imagine that I'm in some part of the job application process. I'm either trying to write a resume, or I'm trying to figure out what type of job I could get. Spirit is saying that literally to stay there working on the resume, or to stay there, you know, looking at the want ads right now is not helpful, because as long as I stay there in that activity, I'm going to keep thinking. Right? The thinking mind is going to keep doing whatever judging it's doing, giving whatever advice it's giving. And so literally it's helpful for me to walk away from that which I'm thinking about. Put it aside. You know, today I was talking to the ladies on the edge of the Royal Gorge about some of the wisdom that my dad shared with me when I was growing up. And one of the things he would say, which I'm reminded of again, is sometimes you're so busy, you know, that the best thing to do is to take the day off. And it sounds counterproductive if you got so much to do. But my dad understood that you can have so much to do and so much worry and pressure and thinking involved that you actually aren't productive. You actually aren't in the flow. And so he said that sometimes the best thing to do would be to take the day off. Spirit seems to be saying the same thing. Walk away. Whatever it is, it's still going to be there. But right now, you're so caught up in your mind that you aren't able to be clear. You aren't able to feel or hear guidance. You aren't able to be in the flow. So the best thing to do is to walk away. Step two. Notice the thoughts you are thinking. And notice they are nothing but thinking. Watch them while affirming their meaninglessness and while affirming your desire to only listen to me. Okay, so we walk away, right? We walk away. Does that mean that our mind automatically shuts up? Of course not. We walk away and the mind keeps chattering about whatever it is, right? Spirit is really asking us to use that. We walk away and the mind starts chattering. He's saying, let's watch the chattering. And for me, the way I do that is I write it down. I journal the chattering. I write down whatever thoughts are in the mind. So he says, watch the mind. Notice it's just thinking. And again, if you watch the mind closely, you're going to see that it's really ridiculous. Because the mind will tell you on the one hand, you know, if our example is we're trying to decide which job to accept, for example, the mind will tell you on the one hand that this job is better because it has more money, it's more closely aligned to your skills, blah, 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 blah. But then it's also going to tell you, but it's too much work, it's too much pressure, and it's going to tell you that this job is better because it's more relaxed, you get more time off. But it's also going to tell you it's not enough pay. So, like, it isn't really saying anything. It's just, you know, there to create pain. And if you start really looking at what the mind is saying instead of being caught up in the pain, if you can step back a bit and notice that it's advising on every side of the problem and it's disadvising on every side of the problem, you'll see that it's just not making sense. You know, it's meaningless. So notice the thoughts you are thinking, and notice they are nothing but thinking. Just wild thoughts shooting through the brain. Watch them while affirming their meaninglessness. So we're not denying the thoughts. We're not trying to escape the thoughts. We're not even judging the thoughts. We're watching them while affirming their meaninglessness, and also while affirming our desire to listen only to guidance, right? Then step three, do something else. It may take time for the thinking that is all wound up in the mind to unwind and quiet. Turn your attention away from the object or issue that seems to be stimulating the thought to another activity that is not a trigger activity for you. As you work on the non-trigger activity, continue step two within the mind. So, if we are experienced at forgiveness, it is possible that after step two, after we write down our thoughts and look at them, it is actually possible that we will be at peace and we can go back and be in guidance. I know that because I do that all the time. But at the time that this message came to me, I was not yet that mature in the forgiveness process. And so going through just step two was still not enough for me. I may write down the thoughts. I may look at them with spirit. I may see the meaninglessness of them. But when I got up and walked away from my spiral notebook, the chatter continued, right? So, since the chattering is still continuing for a time, spirit is not recommending that I run right back to the activity. Spirit says, do something else. And my experience is there's always something else to do. You know, I have a friend today who I talked to on the phone early this morning, and she was upset. She had some stuff going on. And when we talked about, you know, her process, what she realized is it would be helpful for her. She said today she was going to clean her house and allow the fear, allow it to be with her as she cleaned the house, but not put her attention on it and know that it would die down, right? This is really the kind of thing spirit is talking about. Take a walk is another popular answer. Watch a movie is another popular answer. Go do some gardening or some yard work. Go buy groceries. Go cook. Go bake. You know, something that is not a trigger activity for you. Right? Something that is not a trigger activity for you. Some people even go to sleep. They go to sleep. They know that they will wake up and it will still be there, but they know they'll doze again. And they know that if they sleep, they will literally sleep it off. Okay? And each one of us knows what our non-trigger activity is in any particular moment if we pay any attention at all. So, do something else, right? Because it may take time for the thinking that is all wound up in the mind to unwind and quiet. So while you're doing something else, you are literally just waiting for this thing to unwind. So it's what I call a time of patience. There's a knowing that it's going to unwind. There's a trusting that it's going to unwind. You know, it reminds me of that song that I used to sing before I was on the spiritual path. The song would sing in my head whenever I was depressed. Whenever I was depressed, whenever something happened that led me into depression, the song would play in my head. It's from Annie, the musical. Tomorrow, tomorrow. Right, you guys know that song? Right, the sun will come out tomorrow. No, not an old piece of coal. That's a different song I used to sing, Cliff. Right, the sun will come out tomorrow. Right, I don't know the whole song. I didn't even need the whole song. I needed those little lines right there. Whenever something happened to me where I felt, depressed, even before I was on the spiritual path, I knew it wouldn't last. That wisdom I was born into this lifetime with, which means my depression has always been short. It's always been short. I've never had long bouts of depression because I always knew I just had to wait and this would pass. That's what Spirit is saying here. Wait, go do something else. This is going to pass. And it's very helpful, honestly, to have that faith in your mind, that trust in your mind as you go do the something else. Because I know that you know the real power here is the mind, your mind. So it's not the doing something else that's helpful. It's the doing something else knowing that you're in a state of patience, a state of waiting, and this is going to pass, and you're just waiting. If you go do the something else, while at the same time you're listening to thoughts that are somehow saying, this is never going to end, you always do stuff like this, you can never make decisions or whatever, you can imagine that the doing something else is not going to be helpful, right? It's always about the intent, the purpose. So you go do something else in order to allow the thinking that is all wound up in the mind to unwind and quiet. And you be patient, and you wait, and you go to YouTube and you play that song from Annie, right? Tomorrow, tomorrow. Whatever. I wish I knew the whole song, I would sing it to you, but I don't. Okay? Now, step four. Don't you like it when Spirit spells it out so clearly? I mean, come on, you guys, you can print this. You know, keep it somewhere so that when you need it, you pull it out and follow it. I mean, how easy can it be? Step four. When the mind has come to a restful place, you will begin to receive prompts from me. These prompts will come into your mind from a place that is not your effort or your thinking, and they will likely be very different from the thinking that you were doing on your own. As you recognize these prompts, affirm them and echo them within your mind so that they become a stronger part of your consciousness. As my prompts become stronger within consciousness, you will trust them more and you will act on that which you trust. Now again, this message came to me at a time when I was not at the same spiritual maturity I'm at now. So it looks like that step four is really teaching me how to make the voice of Holy Spirit stronger in my own mind. Right? He's teaching me how to do that. He says when the prompt comes into the mind, repeat it. Repeat it. You want to strengthen it. So let's say that, we're upset about anything, right? We're upset about anything. We're upset about something our spouse just said to us. We feel the anger rising in the chest, right? And then we hear a thought come into the mind that says, take a breath. He's saying that while we're in the process of strengthening spirit within us, we don't just take the breath. We repeat within our own mind, take a breath. We repeat the command, and then we take the breath. This repeating of prompts when we recognize them strengthens our ability to hear and recognize prompts. It's an exercise, and it's a simple exercise. You know, if the thought comes into the mind, and you know it, it feels like a prompt, the thought comes into the mind, go call so-and-so, you say, all right, go call so-and-so, and then you go do it. Right? That's not difficult to do, is it? But Spirit is saying this will strengthen our ability to hear. I want to see what Wayne is writing here. Let me move this out of the way. My hearing is so much better when I'm not noisily munching on my fearful thoughts. Right, absolutely. Another thing that's happening here, by the way, which actually reading Wayne's comment prompted me to, so thank you, Wayne, prompted me to have this thought. Another thing that is happening here when you hear a prompt and then you repeat the prompt is that you're not giving the ego the chance to argue with the prompt. Right? If you hear the prompt, go call so-and-so, and you don't fill the mind by repeating that prompt, there's a good chance the ego is going to come in and say, call him, he's going to think you're an idiot, or something like that, right? Right? So another very practical thing that's happening when you repeat the prompt is that you're actually using the mind to repeat the prompt. And since you're filling the space in the mind with the repeating of the prompt, it doesn't give ego that chance to jump in immediately and argue with the prompt. Right? A simple prompt. You know, if you are many, many, many times when I'm talking to people who are going through difficulties, many times I recommend the practice of the single quiet thought. I recommend they take an inspiring thought, maybe something from their morning reading, maybe a thought that comes directly into their mind, something that really resonated with them. And I recommend they keep it in their back pocket, and that several times throughout the day they take it out and read it. I have a friend who's practicing that today, and she wrote me an email a while ago, and she told me what her thought was that she's carrying in her pocket, and then she told me how the ego said, that's not going to help. Right? So imagine when she goes to reach into her back pocket and fill out the prompt, she might even not even have her hand fully in the pocket yet, and the ego says, that's not going to help. If she listens to that, she might not pull it out and read it, which means she didn't even give it the opportunity to help. But what if instead, when the thought comes into the mind, read your single quiet thought now, she says to herself, okay, read my single quiet thought now, as she's pulling it out. Do you see how the ego did not have a chance to get in there and stop her? So it's a very simple practice, and it's something that we're all 100% capable of doing. It's only a matter of being willing to do it. When you hear and recognize a prompt, repeat it, right? So when the mind has come to a restful place, you will begin to receive prompts from me. As Wayne said, he cannot hear when he's in fear. Spirit is also saying, you cannot hear when you're in fear. Step one, let go of the fear. Actually, that was step one, two, and three. Step four, when the mind has come to a restful place, you will begin to receive prompts from me. All right, we're at peace, and now thoughts are coming into the mind about what to do. These prompts will come into your mind from a place that is not your effort or your thinking, and they will likely be very different from the thinking that you were doing on your own. As you recognize these prompts, affirm them and echo them within your mind so that they become a stronger part of your consciousness. As my prompts become stronger within consciousness, you will trust them more, and you will act on that which you trust. You know what that means? If we're acting on ego, it means we're actually still in a state of trusting ego. There's something to think about, to look at, to ask if that's what we still want to do. Okay, step five. Be aware that your thinking will try to come back into the situation. Continue to follow step two regarding your own thinking, and step four, regarding my prompts, while remaining open to more prompts from me. Continue to affirm that you only want my guidance. Like I said, this was perfect for the spiritual maturity level I was at the time when the message came. To be honest, now, once I know guidance, once I've let go of thinking, it typically does not come back at all. It's dead. I'm done with that and it's dead. So there comes a point where you will pass the need for all five steps. But if you need all five steps, it's practicing these five steps that's going to get you to a higher spiritual maturity. Okay, Lord Blue, what have you got? Question. Do you see the hand incident as an out-of-the-ordinary opportunity in your life right now? Let me add that I listened to last night's talk also. Let me add that my intention from asking this question is specifically this. This is A Course in Miracles. The hand thing was apparently a miracle. So do you see the hand incident as an opportunity for course purposes? Well, I'm only going to spend a tiny bit of time answering your question, Laura Blue, only because I don't know if everybody in the room now has heard the hand story, and if this is particularly meaningful. But if you didn't hear the hand story, what happened briefly is that on Wednesday night, I burnt my hand pretty severely, but within an hour and a half it was healed, and there's no sign of a burnt hand. And it's funny because the answer, I guess, Lord Blue, is opportunity. I did see it as an opportunity. What I saw it as an opportunity for was reaffirming my commitment to trust and surrender. That's what it meant to me. It was I use the word symbol instead of opportunity, but it seemed like when this happened, the way that communicated into my mind was something like, how could you ever doubt God? Or how could you ever believe the world more than God, right? I mean, how could you? Now that you have this hand to look at and remind you, how could you, not in a judgmental way, but just in an exploring way, how could you return to believing the world more than God or more than Spirit? And also, it felt like there was a purpose in the hand being healed, that the hand was not healed for no reason. And the only purpose that came into my mind as a possibility was that so that this body could continue to be used, right, for Spirit. So it was an opportunity for me to reaffirm my trust in Spirit above my trust in the world, right? And to reaffirm my willingness to be surrendered and in purpose instead of having a will of my own. So that's the answer to the question. Hopefully that was helpful. We're done with the clearing the mind message, which again were 5 easy steps. I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has any comments on the clearing the mind message. If not, we will go on to another message because we still have a whole half hour here. But I'll let go of the mic quickly. All right, then. I'm giving you another link. Since you didn't have questions, then you get another message. That's the way it works. This is called, Am I My Brother's Keeper? If you're still in the last message, you can just go to the top, and you'll see where it says something about from the original edition. Click on that, and then you'll see another link that says, Am I My Brother's Keeper? Click on that, and that's where we're going. That was my next question to Spirit. And again, I don't remember this. There must have been something going on in April of 2007. I don't remember what it was, but it looks like I had some questions. Okay, so here's my question. Holy Spirit, I am seeing errors in my mind that I would like to discuss with you. First, there is the thought that I could hurt a brother through my actions or missteps. Secondly, there is the desire to help my brother and free him from his self-created pain. I recognize that both thoughts are errors in my mind. What would you share with me? And once again, I really don't remember what the situation was. If I did, I would share it. If it comes to me during the message, I will share it. But it's interesting because it looks like there's two things going on. I don't know if it's two different brothers or if this was with the same person. But one, it looks like I'm afraid that I could do something that will hurt someone else. And at the same time, I see the someone else in self-created pain and I want to help them, rescue them, save them. And I recognize that both of these thoughts are errors. So let's see what Spirit has to say about this. Okay, here you go. Answer. I'm laughing at the first phrase. Apparently I had a hard time because look what Spirit says. Your ego is on the rebound now. So apparently I was going through a tough time. Your ego is on the rebound now. And this is necessary if you are to let go of it. Ah, that's important. The ego must be decided against. And in order to be decided against, it must offer itself to you as an option that can be chosen. I mean, think about that. How can you decide against something that isn't an option? Right? You can only decide against liver on the menu if liver is on the menu. Right? You can only decide against the ego if the ego is presented as an option. And that is our job now, is to decide against the ego, which means we must see and experience the ego in order to decide against it. All right, let's see what else Spirit has to say. Continue to recognize the errors in your mind as errors, just as you are doing. Rest the mind, even as the chatter continues, by seeing the thoughts as meaningless and undesired by you. So whatever the thoughts were, let's pretend they're body thoughts because those are common. I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm fat, right? I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm fat. Okay? Spirit says, see those thoughts as meaningless and undesired. Why are they undesired? Well, what did they do to me? When I'm really listening to those thoughts, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm fat. What are they doing to me? Right? Most of you guys know. If not all of you guys know, you've had these thoughts, right? They're hurting me. That's what they are doing. They are hurting me. Do I want to continue to hurt me? Is that what I want? No, of course not. So I need to see these thoughts as undesired. It's very simple. It sounds hard, especially if you believe you're fat, fat, ugly, and fat, right? It can seem very hard because, first of all, that could be no one else's perception about you, but that's irrelevant if that's your perception about you, right? You think it's true, right? It's true. Fat, fat, ugly, and fat. So how do you start to let go of thoughts that seem so true to you? Well, I can tell you what I did. I trusted spirit more than me. Now, spirit wasn't saying to me, Regina, you have gorgeous legs and a great butt. I never once heard spirit say that. We weren't fighting form with form, right? Spirit looked at me beyond the form, saw how beautiful I was, and told me that was my reality. All right? So I see fat, fat, ugly, and fat. Spirit sees an eternal reality that is beautiful. What I did was chose to trust spirit. And when I chose to trust spirit, that took the fat, fat, ugly, and fat and made it meaningless. Meaningless. The shape of the body became meaningless. We don't have to get on the scales. We don't have to measure the thighs or the waist or the hips. We don't have to get to a certain size because the body, its appearance, is meaningless. What has meaning is the beauty that spirit sees. So I see the thoughts as meaningless and undesired by me, because all they do is hurt me if I continue to hold on to them. So that's how that worked for me. How I got away from what I believed was a very true fact. 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 I swear to you guys, fact. I'm the ugliest woman on earth. And if you don't think I believe that, you're crazy, because I did. Fact. I'm the ugliest. Okay? How do I move from fact that I'm the ugliest to, well, just seeing the body as meaningless? It's by trusting spirit's evaluation of me. Beautiful, but looking at the truth, right? Beautiful. Yeah, Wayne says he's the ugliest. Well, you know, and I'm sure many of you have been in these conversations. I have sat around in conversation with women where we each tried to convince each other that I was the ugliest. I mean, you know, I would say I am, and another lady would say she was, and but look at my this, and well, look at my that. We're each trying to convince each other that I'm the ugliest. That's because we believe it. But how can we all be the ugliest? I mean, come on, you guys. How is that possible? It isn't. It's just a part of that ridiculousness of the ego. All right? So continue to recognize the errors in your mind as errors, just as you are doing. Rest the mind, even as the chatter continues, by seeing the thoughts as meaningless and undesired by you. Be patient with yourself in trust as you continually choose against the ego. Do you hear that? It might not be done once. You might not see fat, fat, ugly, and fat, right, once, and say, that's meaningless, I don't want that, and let it go and be done. In 20 seconds, fat, fat, ugly, and fat might be back again. What do? You repeat the process. You continually choose against the ego. Continually. For as long as it takes. And I got to tell you guys, it's worth it, I promise. It's worth it. Okay? You just want to be as consistent as you possibly can. And it works. So So be patient with yourself in trust as you continually choose against the ego. This is an ego storm, which is a last attempt for the ego to regain command and control within your mind. It knows it is losing its foothold, and it must fight hard to try to regain its lost territory. Love it by letting it fight its own battle, but do not engage the ego by battling with it. You actually just let the ego do its thing. It's screaming, right? You guys know this. It's jumping up and down in your head. It's screaming. It's saying the worst thing it could possibly say for you, right? It's taking you into the depths of your fear, the depths of your unworthiness, the depths of your guilt. And what do? You let it, but you don't join it. You don't join it. You just go clean the house or something, right? Like my friend is doing today. You don't join it. Love it by letting it fight its own battle, but do not engage the ego by battling with it. Rejoice as you rest through this storm, knowing that a great calmness will come when the ego has tired of itself. Right? We're back to tomorrow, right? The sun will come out tomorrow. We're back there again. Be patient. Rejoice knowing it cannot last. Be patient. Rejoice knowing it cannot last. Okay, Lord Blue, I'll pause for a second and see what you got. Question. This is one of the rare instances in which I see something about loving the ego. Does the text really mean to love the ego? I have a feeling, Lord Blue. I have a feeling, and you please correct me if I'm wrong, okay? Because I could be wrong. But I have a feeling that what's going on in this question is that you are comparing this message to the words and language in A Course in Miracles. Holding up A Course in Miracles as the truth. And if this message is different than A Course in Miracles, then something must be wrong. Is that what you're doing? A Course in Miracles is a magnificent book. Not that something is wrong, but curious to know. Okay, good. Yeah, A Course in Miracles is a wonderful book, okay? But A Course in Miracles is just one way that Holy Spirit, Jesus, is reaching into our mind to help us to wake up. It is not the only way. And if you guys are aware, the Course itself says that. So it can be an error. In fact, it is an error to compare other guidance systems to the Course and to say if it's different from the Course, it's wrong. But I will tell you what you check with. There is a check, because you certainly don't want to believe everything that's written down. You don't want to believe everything that someone claims is channeled, right? You don't. I mean, that would be foolish. The check is within your heart, within you, not within the Course. That gets too intellectual to compare things to the Course. And guess, when you're intellectual, where are you? You're in the ego, right? You check with your heart. Okay, now, when this says, love it, love the ego, by letting it fight its own battle, I'll tell you how this communicated into my mind, and that is of the utmost importance, because this message was being communicated to me. Alright? The love it transformed me from seeing something I had to fight against to seeing the ego as just a kid throwing a temper tantrum. Right? And you love a kid. Right? Just a kid throwing a temper tantrum. You love it and you let it throw its temper tantrum until it's done. So it was helpful to me because it released me from that feeling that I had to fight against this bad thing in my mind. All right? Often you will see, I think in Way of Mastery, for example, we're often told to embrace the ego. And these terms are helpful in causing us to release the idea that we have to battle the ego. Sometimes you could say the pendulum has to swing in the opposite direction, right? If we're used to battling, fighting, hating, resisting, it swings way over in the opposite direction. But the truth is actually in the middle. And the truth is that the ego is meaningless. All right? It's meaningless. And at some point, that is where we get, but it's not always where we go first. So the first thing that needs to happen is we need to release our resistance of it. And in my mind, right, it was helpful to see the ego as a kid throwing a temper tantrum and to just love it and let it. Love it and let it be. Does that make sense? But yeah, watch for the temptation to compare things against the Course. What happens when you do that, again, you get into an intellectual looking rather than a heart looking. If you do read something you don't understand, and you just don't understand, ask within. And when you ask within, you may receive guidance on how that wording is helpful. You may even receive, that's not helpful for you, let it go. That's not helpful for you, let it go, however, is not a judgment against it. It may be helpful for someone else. And remember, spirit never judges. That's one way you know the difference between spirit and ego. Ego will judge. Ego will compare something to the Course and then judge that something else as bad, wrong. You'll feel the judgment in it, right? That's ego. Spirit never judges, but spirit will guide you when something is not for you, not helpful to you, just to let it go, right? Okay, so returning to the message then. Thanks for asking your question, Lord Blue. Okay, so returning to the message. Love it. By letting it fight. See how it's love it and let it, right? See how it's a detachment, actually? Love it by letting it fight its own battle. But do not engage the ego by battling with it. Do you see how that was helping me to reverse that idea that I had to fight the ego? Rejoice as you rest through this storm, knowing that a great calmness will come when the ego has tired of itself. Rest within the pool of calm, which you can already find and recognize within yourself. So what he's really saying here, and this is pretty dang cool, is even in the storm, there's a pool of calm. And I'll tell you, Donna was talking about that today while we were climbing around on the cliffs of the Royal Gorge. She talked about finding the peace in the storm, and it's there. I promise you it's there. I found it too. And what happens then is you can find this little place of peace where you can sit even while your ego is still freaking out. Yeah, the eye in the center of the storm. It is there. So find that and sit there and let the ego kick up a storm until it's done. But don't engage it, right? Stay in the eye in the center of the storm. Now remember, this question, it came up about, I was concerned about some brother. I don't remember who or what the situation was. But, by the way, hello, Sylvain. Nice, I haven't seen you in a long time. Okay, here we go. Your brother is right where he needs to be, and you have given him as he has asked. He has the gift of opportunity to choose healing just as you do. In this way, you stand together side by side and holding hands, ready to make the choice that will free you both forever. So apparently, whatever this situation was, and yeah, Dave, I saw that. I knew that was you coming in, even though it said Dave ACIM instead of Dave Way of Mastery, because I know you're up next. Okay, but anyway, apparently, whatever I needed to do to be helpful with this brother situation, apparently whatever I was guided to do to be helpful was already done, and yet the brother was still upset, and that was bothering me. And spirit is just telling me I'd already done my part, and now I needed to let my brother choose. And that is something I have definitely learned. I mean, I'm around people either via phone, email, or here in my house all of the time who are going through ego storms, and I will be guided to give them something, right? Some recommendation, some teaching to listen to. Sometimes immediately you see the helpfulness. They're like, ah, oh, thank you, Regina. That was the greatest. And sometimes you don't. But for me to continue to be upset because they didn't return immediately to peace is my error. So I'm guided to give what I'm guided to give. And then I let my brother continue on his path. And Lord Blue, I see your hand again. What do you want, my love? I asked the question another way. Okay, so we're going back to the previous question. In your thought system, forget about the course, okay? Is it okay to love the ego, and do you recommend this? Like I said, I see that as a helpful, it can be a helpful stepping stone. But in the end, what is most helpful is to see the ego as meaningless. That's my honest answer. But it can be helpful when you are so used to hating, resisting, fighting the ego to move into a loving allowance for a time. But then the end reaction of that is that you end up just seeing it as meaningless. And I don't call meaningless and love the same, no. But what we have to do to get to meaningless is what we have to do to get to meaningless, right? We want to get there honestly, not just intellectually. All right, so back to the message. You focus on your part, right? Spirit says, you focus on your part, my guidance. The ego will get very tricky and very subtle now. Mirroring me, Spirit, to the best of its ability. But it cannot mirror me perfectly because it is incapable of mirroring without judgment, without fear, and without guilt. Watch for these characteristics and know that when you see them, you see ego. Do not listen to what you hear because that which you are hearing is not me, and so it is not your true choice. This is something that we should all know well, but if we don't, it's time to pay attention. As we study A Course in Miracles, NTI, The Way of Mastery, or anything else, Ramana Maharshi, right? As we study anything else, the ego's there with us. It's studying too. And what the ego will do is it will begin to use the spiritual language to trick us into staying in ego. Okay? But if you pay close attention, you will notice. Because the difference between ego and spirit, even as they use the same language, remains the difference between ego and spirit. Ego always uses judgment. Spirit is completely, 100% judgment-free. Never judges. Okay? Ego guides through fear and guilt. Spirit never guides through fear and guilt. It guides through peace. So if you become what I call a student of feelings. Feel the message rather than just hearing it with your intellectual mind. If you feel what I call a clean message, and by a clean message I mean it has no judgment, fear, or guilt in it whatsoever, that is something you can trust as spirit. If there is judgment, fear, or guilt in the feeling of the message, regardless of how spiritual the words are, that is ego, you can let that go. And as we go further and further along on the spiritual path, the ego adopts more and more and more spiritual language. You know, like one example that's coming to my mind is when Inner Ramana first started speaking to me. Some of you may remember I got about 30 messages from the Inner Ramana over about a 6-week period. And I posted and shared those messages. One particular friend would comment on the messages. And one of her comments was consistently something like, I don't remember the exact words, but the tone of the message was something like, oh yeah, sure, that's Ramana. The one who taught in silence is teaching in words now. Silence is the language of God and blah, 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 right? It sounds very spiritual. And it's true. Silence is the language of God. The words were right. But there was judgment in that, right? Judgment. So watch for what you are feeling. The words may be right on, but if the feeling is not right on also, then it's ego, spiritual ego we call it. Do not listen, let it go, right? Watch for these characteristics, judgment, fear, and guilt. And know that when you see them or feel them, you also see ego. Do not listen to what you hear, because that which you are hearing is not me, and so it is not your true choice. Now, right now, I happen to think of an example where someone else was judging me, but I assure you I've judged plenty of people myself. It's just that's the example that came into my mind. But because I have been on the judgment side as well, I can tell you that if I was the one, right now, with my current spiritual maturity, right, if I was the one that saw the thought come into my mind, oh, yeah, you know, sure, that's Ramana, the one of silence teaching with words, right? You know, and I felt that energy. I would see the temptation to make that post and to criticize that person and say, you're wrong. But I wouldn't do it. That's what he means by do not listen. I wouldn't do it because it's not what I want. I don't want to listen to ego. I don't want to listen to judgment. The thought may come into the mind, but that does not mean I have to follow it. All right? I let it go. I see it as wrong. I see it as my error. It's a mistake in my mind. I don't judge myself either, by the way. Don't judge myself for seeing the thought. I just let it go. Okay? Do not listen to what you hear when you recognize it as ego, because that which you are hearing is not me, and so it is not your true choice. It's not what you want. Okay, one more paragraph. You must remain very much in trust with your true desire now. Stick with it in your mind consistently. Repeat it to yourself constantly, even to the point of ridiculousness. Okay, so what Spirit is talking about is remind yourself in your own mind, in whatever words it comes, all I want is the peace of God. Or all I want is to know Spirit's guidance, right? He says, repeat it in your mind constantly, even to the point of ridiculousness. Now, of course, the ridiculousness is the ego's judgment that's going to come in and try and stop you, right? The Spirit knows that the ego is going to try and come in and say, this is getting ridiculous. And so Spirit's saying, okay, so when the ego comes in and says, this is getting ridiculous, keep right on doing it. Right? Keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop. Your mind may be saying this is ridiculous how often you're saying this to yourself, but keep on going, right? Keep on trucking. In fact, that's what the next sentence says. Look at this. Ridiculousness is the judgment of the ego. So see that judgment and let it go. Then put your full trust in my advice and continue to focus on true desire, right? All I want is the peace of God. All I want is the peace of God. I only want to listen to Spirit. And just keep reminding yourself. And remember, we talked earlier that if your mind is busy with one thing, it can't be doing another thing. If you're keeping your mind busy by reminding yourself of what you want, the ego doesn't have as much opportunity to get in there. See, you're using the mind as a tool, instead of letting the mind use you. Do you see the difference? You're using the mind as a tool, instead of letting the mind use you. Okay, so those were our two messages for tonight. Am I my brother's keeper? It looks like the bottom line answer was no. My job is to follow guidance, and if I am guided to give something to my brother to be helpful, I give it. But I need to give it without attachment to whether he appears helped or not. And that's something I really learned big time with my friend Debbie, who lived here. Because at first she didn't appear helped. And at one point I got a little depressed because I was, you know, really giving and there was no seeming effect. In fact, at first she seemed to get worse. But that was just a process she went through. Because I'll tell you what, she was helped. I know that. I can see that now. She was helped very much. But see, it's not for me to be concerned about. It really isn't. That's between Spirit and Debbie, or Spirit and whoever the brother is, right? My job is to give what I'm asked to give in love and trust and then let go. So am I my brother's keeper? Not really. But I'm here to be truly helpful. Okay, guys, I'm out of here. Dave Schock is in. I need to go, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Dave Schock, is I'm going to turn on my recorder, so that I can listen to you later. But I won't physically be here. It's time for dinner here in our house. Okay? All right. See you guys. Bye.